Welcome back to Kind of Funny's John Wick in review. That's right, we are ranking and reviewing every movie in the John Wick cinematic universe. As always, I'm Tim Geddes, joined by the producer slash seducer, Nick Scarpino.
Oh, he never says it. He never says whoa, but I wanted to say whoa.
That was a lot. I don't know that it was good, but it was a lot. I appreciate the effort for sure.
It was bad.
We have Christmas.
Let's start over.
Okay, fine. We'll start the whole producer slash seducer, Nick Scarpino.
Whoa. No, just still bad. Still
as bad. We're gonna have to work on this one. We have Christmas in January. Joey Noel.
Thank you. I think you need to do the yeah that he does in this movie.
Yeah.
He does it in the same cadence as the whoa.
It's not that. No. It's not a karate chop, Nick.
No, it's like that's the Bill and Ted's. Yeah, bro. That's what he used to do. But now he's just a little slower. He's a little slower, a little bit more. I'm not going to say slow. He's a little bit more intentional.
Nitro Rifle, Andy Cortez, give it to me.
Yeah. Thinking I'm back.
Why do you make him sound like that, Nick? No.
You know why? Because I just watched Speed the other night. And now I got Speed Keanu in my head. Sorry, guys.
We have the big dog, Kevin Koala.
Sure.
Okay.
He says I'll that give a lot. It to you. At the end of every time they're like, it's good seeing you, he's always like, sure. I love it.
Oh, man, everybody, this is In Review. We do it twice a week where we take a movie franchise or a movie director franchise thing. You know what I'm talking about. A whole bunch of movies. We watch them and we do them in order. We rank them. We review them. Right now, we're doing Edgar Wright and John Wick. You can watch them live as we're recording them by being a Patreon producer by going to patreon.com/kindoffunny. We'll be there for you. If you want to wait, get it later, that's cool. You can do that. You can get the show on youtube.com/kindoffunny or roosterteeth.com. You can also get it as a podcast. Just search for Kind of Funny Reviews. It will be there on your favorite podcast service. It's great stuff. Today, we are talking about John Wick, Chapter 2. Andy Cortez, what's up?
Discord, I don't know when I sent... I don't know what's happening. There, Joey, disregard anything that's just happened.
What's happening?
Nothing to do with... Send me a Discord server, and I was like, I don't know what this is, but I'm joining it. And
it's nothing to do with the show, but it's also nothing that I know that I did. So don't worry.
I don't like it's how like, confused that whole situation is. Let's
I'm
move
so
on.
Confused by this. I'm so, I mean, sorry to the listeners and viewers. It says that I sent Joey Noel. Hold on. It says that I sent Joey Noel an invite to a Warzone Discord server.
Sick.
And there's people in there that I don't know who they are. I don't know what when this happened, hacked? Joey. Oh, you know what? I right clicked on your name and must have done something that I didn't mean to do, Joey.
Okay. Well, I left it.
Oh, that's exactly what I did. I right-clicked on your name to raise your volume, and what it did is there's a thing that says invite to server, and I must have just clicked some random shit and invited you to it. That's what happened. Okay. I'm relieved. I was like, I don't know when I sent this. Never mind. Back to John Wick, everybody.
John Wick, Chapter 2. Nick Scarpino from Kind of Funny.
Yo, Andy, can I get an invite to that server? What's up?
I knew it.
Andy, I would also like an invite to the server.
Jesus.
Just right click, bro.
Joey, you can leave that, by the way. I left.
John Wick, Chapter 2, with a runtime of 2 hours and 2 minutes, a little bit longer than the first one. Directed once again by Chad Stahelski, an American stuntman, like we talked about last week. Released on February 10th. 2017, a budget of $40 million, a box office of $171.5 million, making quite a bit more than round one of the movie. So that's cool stuff for our boy Keanu. Joey Noel, I want to start with you.
Yes.
What do you think of John Wick 2?
So going into, this is the first time I've watched them all sequentially in such a short period of time, ever probably. So in my head, I remembered, I think they get better and better. And after watching this one, I still like this, but I just forgot how much of a slower burn it was than the first one. It seemed like because they're doing so much more world building and you're finding out about everything else and the high table and all of that stuff, it's a little bit slower than I remembered it being. But I still really like it. Like, that's the stuff that's also my favorite. So it's weird that it... makes it less fun because that's the part of it that I like, but still really enjoyed it. The action's really cool. I love that we even get a little bit of, I don't know, Winston and the Continental stuff is just always so cool, and now learning about the High Table and how the whole structure works is really fun, but didn't quite hit as much as I thought it was going to.
Kevin, what about you?
I'm in the same boat as Joey. I remember, had you asked me before we started this, what is the order that I enjoy these movies? And I would have been like, I'm pretty sure it's 3-2-1. And this movie has a lot of cool moments, but it's slower. It does show the vastness of the assassin world and like how walking down the street fucking sucks if you have a $7 million hit on you. And like, that's fucking cool and fun. These movies are so damn good. That being said, yeah, like I'm still loving every second of everything.
Nick.
Yeah, I'm with everyone else. I mean, I've watched this now 2 times in the last couple of weeks. The first time I remember thinking it's still incredibly enjoyable. But when you watch it back with a critical eye, a lot of this movie is spent world building. And that's not to it. I think it's to the overall benefit of the series. It's a little bit of a detriment in this one because there's just less fun action. But I will say that the action that is there, I think, is better than the first one. It's just there's less of it. So there's that nice little balance that I think they struck. But I'll tell you what, man, it blew my mind the first time I watched this, when he walked up to the homeless person in the metro station and gave him a quarter and was like, take me to him. And the guy totally flips that switch and is like, and like opens up the thing and like hides him. I'm like, this anything can happen now. Anything can happen in this world. They have built this so well that it's so cheesy, but it works. It's just the right amount of ham and cheese. And that sandwich is going down hard, man. I love this series.
Andy.
I went off on that metaphor, got off the rails there. Sorry.
Oh, I like it.
Sorry, Andy.
It's all good. I feel like I enjoyed for the reasons why you may not be super high on it, for the exact same reasons. I love that it keeps building everything out. I think that the action is, we get a little bit less, but I do think it is overall better. I think it's more enjoyable to watch, better choreographed, in cooler set pieces as well. I think I mean, Common and Keanu shooting at each other with silencers on two different levels in a subway station is the dumbest, funniest, coolest thing ever. And this moment, I think this movie had me more often saying, oh, Jesus, when there's like a really cool headshot. And then I laugh and I just go, God, I love this damn movie. And I don't know. I think building out, again, all these different factions and seeing Santiago's faction. And then we get introduced to Lawrence Fishburne, and just put Lawrence Fishburne into more stuff. You know, like the mystery that's surrounding him is so neat. And I think this movie ends in such a cool way that just leaves you wanting more. And I really enjoyed it again.
I want to say they also do such a great job at nailing the relationships, because there's like multiple moments with multiple characters where they're antagonists, but there's a thin line where like, if they just like, you know, they want to be cool and like would hang out. Like Common and John Wick, like the, I forget Common's
professional
character. Cassian and John Wick, you know, they're like, if great we weren't, if you too, hadn't Cassian. Had to kill my person, we would be like, we would like, hey, we would
they,
hang
they
out.
They must have been friends beforehand. Like when they have the interaction in the party.
Well, they know each other's like, drinks yeah. and this. And then there's this like bromance that's happening between John Wick and the night manager or the desk manager who now has a name. I think it's Sharon. Is his name now? Who's Lance Reddick's character? And I could be pronouncing that completely wrong. I just saw it in the subtitles when I was taking notes. But like all that stuff, you're like, everyone just seems to really like John Wick, and they're kind of like rooting for him, but they unfortunately have to put hits out on him. It's sad.
Leaving Cassian alive, it was just so fucking cool, especially when he then later kills Ruby Rose in like a very similar way.
Yeah. But here's what I'm saying, and here's what I love is they learned the lesson from Fast and Furious. Make bad guys, but don't make them so bad that they can't become homies later and come to the barbecue around John Wick 6.
Yeah.
I guarantee Common's coming back, and Common's going to have to like do something at some point in the John Wick series.
He's going to save him for something. How are you feeling, Tim?
Dude, I am a little surprised that you guys are as quote unquote down on this as you are. I think this one's easily better than the first one. I think that not in every single way, but I think overall for me, it's pretty easy to rank them that way, specifically because everything that I actually really like and enjoy about this franchise, this movie does better. The only exceptions to that are, I think that the cast as a whole and surprises and like you know, who are these people? I liked better in the first one. Obviously, again, Lawrence Fishburne, didn't know that. That was awesome. And Ruby Rose is fine, serviceable in some ways, but distracting in others. Common, obviously, was a big, like, whoa. But I feel like the cast of the first one, the bad guys in the first one were just so spectacularly bad at what they're doing in the perfect way. Whereas for this one, I don't think there's less action. I think there might be less action scenes, but they definitely go on longer. We get multiple like 15 to 20 minute just stretches of insanely choreographed set pieces, and they range and change and evolve from fist fights to gun fights to car chases to motorcycle chases to back to fist fights, like so seamlessly, and it's constantly engaging while also giving you plot details and also giving you character moments. And that to me is the coolest thing, where what Andy was saying about this one has way more oh shit moments. I think it does in cool action scenes, but in gruesome deaths and all of that stuff, I just think that it's more in all the right ways. All of the world building, all of that stuff is just so fucking cool. The first movie set up a great world, great rules with the hotel, great ideas. This one obviously takes it way further and ups the ante. And the way this movie ends could not be more epic. I could not be more excited to watch the third one. Having said all that, my biggest critique of the movie is the turning point at the very end where he shoots Santonio or whatever his name is in the hotel.
Sonny, we can call him.
Santino. I feel like that was not earned at all for the story that this movie told, in the sense that in the first movie, his dog was killed. He's on this revenge tale. This one, it feels like he could have just killed him outside the hotel. There wasn't any real urgency to kill him at that very moment. And that just kind of seemed like a quick way to get to, well, now all the other assassins are after him, because this is a great setup for a third movie.
I get that. I read that as like, if you give this guy time, he's going to figure out how to get people to kill you. So like, you got to kill this guy now. Otherwise it's a threat. Like, you can't let this guy sit in the Continental for a month and like eating plan meals. Or organize and scheme and like all these things. And, you know, it was like, you know, screw you, man. You blew up my house. Like, I'm taking the opportunity to shoot you in the head right now. It is disappointing though. They do such a good job where you're like, no, you have that gut moment where you're like, dude, why did you pull the trigger? Now you're screwed. But my thing is,
I think it was shocking because it doesn't make sense, because following the logic you just said, it's like, oh, well, then he has time to plan a whole thing. Well, now he has every assassin in the world after him.
Well, I think
But he
did that anyway. There was already a hit on him, right? Yeah. And so that's the problem, is the longer John waits, the longer that other guy has to just up that ante and get more assassins and do all these things. I'm explaining this away.
To any of the
he's safe, screwed.
The safe places,
like, this seems like a bad decision.
It was a principled decision. So, it's a principled decision for me. Like, I think John just feels wronged by Santiago pulling a fast one on him. And I think I think at that point it becomes super personal, to where he'd be like, I'd rather die like this than not kill you, you know, or you know, then have you still out there surviving and get killed anyway somehow. Like, I'd rather,
if I'm going down, you're coming down.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm going out my way.
It's so lame for a character that is set up to be John goddamn Witt. Everything he does, he's like, I'll take them all fucking on. And it's like, well,
tell everyone I'm going to kill them.
Point of clarification. No, I didn't mean to interrupt that terrible impression. I
apologize for anything, dude.
I'm going to work on it, guys. I'm going to workshop it.
So the contract doesn't end even if Santino gets killed. Instead, it gets amplified, right? That's why it went from being New York to the whole world.
Well, that's because the High Table. Well, it's murky. Because
I think the High Table just excommunicated him. That's all they did. That's what happens. Like, you're no longer part of the league. You're not allowed to come in and hide here.
I think they sent it international too. For some reason, I thought it was Winston that excommunicated him.
Well, first off, it's very confusing, because why would a contract not be international? Like, it's weird that you're only allowed to execute a contract on U.S. soil if it's U.S.
It's because people have turf and whatnot. You know, turfs.
I guess that means you can't start looking into the logic of these movies.
But yeah, there's not a lot. But the idea that Santino's like that, I got the idea that he's part of this organization called the Kimura or whatever they are.
Yeah, the Kimura.
That's his family. That's his like gang. Just like Lawrence Fishburne is part of the Bowery. Like, the Bowery people are his. That's his gang, cool. Right? He's the Bowery King. It's fucking awesome, right?
Yeah.
By the way, mind blown when I saw Lawrence Fishburne for the first time. I was like, because you know, Tim, Keanu just called him and was like, Larry, do you want to just be in this movie?
And Larry.
Like,
Larry. Sure. That's really funny.
You know what I mean? Like, Lars, do you want to be in this movie? And he was like, sure. I'll do you a solid on this one. I'm sure
I have a sort of issue. I guess maybe we can address it in the plot. Sure.
Let's get in there now.
I was talking about it right now. When, obviously, John Wick walks up to the homeless man and says, take me to him. And then when they meet, Lawrence Fishburne is, you know, you don't remember me. I remember you. You did this to me, that whole thing. So, like, is it just that John Wick knows that there is a king of the Bowery or something like that and doesn't know that it's Lawrence Fishburne who he at one point killed or attempted to kill and was like, hey, keep the thing on your neck so you won't die or whatever?
I think he knows exactly who that there is. I think he knows the king. I just don't think he remembers stabbing him in the neck.
Okay, got it. Okay.
That's how I read that. Because they know each other.
Especially because he said, like, tell him it's John Wick. Like, I feel like...
I guess Lawrence Fishburne's...
I just feel like that's...
I guess Lawrence Fishburne's kind of, you know, monologue there was supposed to indicate that, John, you don't know me, but I know you, sort of thing. And it's like, well, like, you do know me.
There's a lot of monologuing that happens. Literally every single character has a, like, 15-minute long monologue.
Even Ruby Rose.
That's cool, though.
She did not,
unfortunately. She signed it all.
It was an interesting choice making her sign. I actually thought that was kind of cool.
Was it? Or was it like the right choice, very clearly?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if her acting chops weren't up to snuff when they were just like, let's go a different way with this character. But I have to imagine it was written into the script. But I think it all pays off.
There's no way.
It all pays off in that one moment where, well, first off, I think they did it to show the breadth of how much John knows. Because the fact that he actually knows sign language, too, I was like, all right, that's pretty cool. You know, I feel like
knowing Russian and Italian, that's a lot of languages to know, you know.
Russian, Italian, and Kevin, English? kissing cousins
they're
of language.
Russian they're very different than any of those languages. Very Russian, different Italian. Than the romance languages, Nick.
I'm gonna tell you one thing right now. You go into St. Petersburg right now and you start speaking fluent Italian, you're gonna get by just fine.
Sure,
let's do the plot.
Go ahead, Nick.
Oh, come on, Andy. Give me something. Give me hype, bro.
Wait, didn't last week you said you were going to do the plot, right?
Did I do the plot? Oh, plot. That might have been Fast and Furious. I'm not quite sure. Ladies and gentlemen.
That's definitely Mission Impossible, right?
Plot. Let's get to the plot. And then Kevin on top was like, John Wick.
So I guess you have a choice. You want a war? Or do you want to just give me a gun? John murders a man on a motorbike and then steals his cool Magic the Gathering card over at another warehouse. The Russian cosmonaut from Armageddon oversees the evacuation of all of his gold and cocaine.
Is that who he is?
Hell yeah, dude. Remember?
I was like, you look so familiar, but I kept having, what's his name from Die Hard stuck in my head. And I was like, that's not.
Wait, who was he? I didn't hear you.
Rattle.
She thought he was Alan Rickman. It's not. He's been everything.
The guy that sits on the desk and is like really cocky and then gets shot.
Yeah, he's in Bad Boys too. He's the bad guy in Bad Boys too. Also,
does he get shot?
Johnny Tapia, I'm here for you. You remember that scene where he's like, and then he gets shot in the fountain. You're like, that was a waste of a great character, man. Anyway, let's see. With his underlings, I love this. This is another callback to the first one. So his underling goes, why don't we just correct this situation? Why can't we just kill him? And he goes, my fucking nephew killed the dog and stole a car, which is currently among our inventory. And he goes, and the guy's like, we're giving everything up for a car. Why don't we just, it's not just a car. It's John Wick's car. And the guy goes, oh. And that's it.
He's my like, favorite fucking recurring thing in this franchise so far is the O's. So good.
Oh, it's so good.
But
and then John
here's,
kills a
here's
bunch.
One question. Just maybe move all the other cars, put that car in the middle, keys on top of the hood. You know what I mean?
Well,
like
I think
he's going to come
so
in.
So fast, they just didn't know, you know?
I feel like they knew a little bit there. Just like they had enough time. John Leguizamo snitched on them, you know? Just leave it on top of the hood. He'll know what to do. He'll just take it quietly.
Very true. Well, I think the other thing too is he was like, well, he makes the point of saying like, why don't we just give him the car back? And the guy's like, because he killed my brother and I have to have revenge or whatever the fuck it is. You know, it's we need a cool action set piece here. And boy, is it cool, because, man, John starts killing people. At one point, he kills a dude with his own cigarette, which is horrifying.
Oh,
that's why, Kevin, you should quit smoking.
What is a cigar?
Quit smoking. It's deadly for you, especially when someone comes and grabs your fucking face and shoves it into its mouth. Holy shit.
I think it'll be fine.
Another notable awesome moment in this is when
Hold on, Nick. You think you could take down John Wick?
No. I think that I could talk my way out of the situation. Just be like, you know what?
Okay.
John, John, right here. Hold on. You don't have to do this. I got the keys right here. I put it on top of the hood for you. Just go ahead and get him.
You don't think he can get one syllable into that and he just shoots you?
No, he'll listen. Like, he'll, if you address him directly, Mr. Wick, right here, Mr. Wick.
Here's what I'll say.
Because I'm like 15 feet away. You know what I mean?
Yeah, why are you acting like he can't see you?
There's like a gate between us. There's like a bulletproof gate between us where I'm just like, hey, oh.
Wait, how elaborate is this warehouse that you're pitching this thing in?
Hey, man, I planned. Like, I heard what's happening. Everyone's like, get ready. He's coming. And I'm just like, put the car in the middle, put the keys on the hood. I got this. Don't worry. Make sure he comes to this entrance.
This is nuclear bomb proof. You can't kill me, Jeff.
Kevin, he just John Wick walks in, and Kevin just got a birthday cake. He's like, it's from Susie Cakes.
Still whistling, Mr. Wick.
another notable cool thing that happens here is they have obviously some car foo happening. John, despite stealing the car back, proceeds to just destroy the thing and killing everyone in the process. There's another cool moment where he gets hit and punted out of the car, which I thought was just such a creative and cool thing that happens. Of course, after killing every single person, he goes up to Abrams' office and he says, "Peace." And the guy's like, "Can a man like you ever really know peace?" And then John goes, "Why not?" And then he goes, "All right, fuck it." And then they clink glasses, and that's it. That's the end of it, right?
That's the end of it. What a fucking opening to a movie, man. I loved every second of it. It was just thrilling, engaging, exhilarating, all of those words. Give me more synonyms. Like, I loved the extension of the action. I loved how it just kept going where, yeah, you brought up him getting knocked out of the car and all that stuff. I've never seen that shit before.
Neither have I.
Like, that was them learning, being like, okay, the gun foo stuff was dope as hell. But yeah, what about car foo? What if we mixed all of them together? And like, it just, let's just keep the camera wide so we can actually see stuff. What a great idea for an action movie. Fantastic.
and good cuts too. Like, you know, in terms of like CG, where it looks like Keanu just fucking fell out of that car. Like, it really looked convincing. And I also love the moment where he's reversing, whips around the car, and just knocks the dude like fucking 30 feet to the left.
Right,
it was
before.
Such a cool
into
moment.
The pole, so into the fucking pole.
So brutal, so hard. Yeah.
Were those moments like totally CG? Because like I could totally see that crew being like, "All right, we're gonna put the car and connect to it a bunch of wires. We're gonna pull it at 60 miles an hour, and you just have to kind of stand there, just try to stand out, you know."
I don't know. But they were so well done, and you just get that feeling of the violence and the energy of it. Kudos.
I was watching a video, and they were saying that Keanu's like one of the best like actors who can like stunt drive.
Yeah, he did an insane amount of training for it, for the physicality of it, for all the different martial arts stuff, for the gun training, and then also for car stuff for this one. And he did even more of his own stunts in this one than the others. 95% for this were the only two major stunts he didn't do, where he got hit by the car and where him and Common rolled down the stairs.
That's painful. That's one where so I'm like, brutal. Guys, we're gonna need stunt guys to do this, and you better roll the cameras because we're getting one take on this fucking thing.
Nick, a quick question. You've been to Italy, right?
Yeah.
You ever tripped on those stairs? Not those specific ones, but like any old stairs in Italy.
Oh my god. I've never told you guys. I mean, I think I've told this story before. I was running down a marble staircase, slipped, and cracked my back, and they had to call a doctor and bring him there. Cause I was like, my parents were taking the elevator down, but it was one of those old rickety elevators, and me being the spry, very out of shape child that I was like, I'll run down the stairs. And apparently Italians don't want to mess up the marble stairs with these things called grip tape, so they just let those little slippery bastards go, and I just fucking skid down a whole set of them. They had to call the doctor. They were like, I'm like, did I break my back? And they were like, no, you just hurt yourself.
You're fat. That's
and
it.
You need to, you need to stop eating so much ice cream. That was what it was.
Oh,
I was like, I didn't
down
do
on the gelato.
Kevin, I imagine a recreation of this moment when Nick heard us back in the studio, but except in the place of you and me, it's his parents, and they're like, should we be concerned? And Nick's crawling on the ground backward, and he's like, don't worry about me, don't worry about me.
That's such a scary day. It's just a scary moment. Tim, the other thing is, all these fucking stairs have like hundreds of years of fucking wear on them. So there's just sections where like, oh, people have walked here. Like millions and millions of people have stepped over these stairs. So it's just worn and they get so slippery. Have I fallen in Italy in my honeymoon? Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, fuck. Not surprised. Not surprised at all.
That's why we make our steps here out of cement. Never wears down. Never wears down. We get a cool title sequence. That's not true. We get a cool title sequence with John and the marker. That's the first time we see the marker come into play. When then John returns home, he takes a moment to remember his wife and then heads to bed. Aurelio comes over the next day to come fix the car, and he's just like, what the hell did you do? And then this is where I noticed John Wick got a haircut, and I hate it. I don't like Keanu Reeves' hair in this at all. I appreciate it's that he had short. To grow it back it's out. Short. It's too short. It's too short.
Yeah.
Joey? It's too short.
It's too short.
No, I agree with it you, Nick. I agree with you, Nick. Because I agree that it looks dope when it is slicked back.
Slicked back. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. And he's in the full black suit.
And then he gets those weird side bang things. Like,
right? It's almost
yeah, but in this scene with Aurelio, it looks like he's going for the Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
It's like a rom-com.
And it's like his hair is like really, really short right here in part in the middle. And it kind of gets longer and longer. Not a great look. Not a great look.
John buries his guns down in the basement again. But before you know it, Tim, wouldn't you know it, a knock on the door, and it's Santino Gambino. I can't remember his last name. D'Antonio,
I think is his last name. I kept calling him Santiago. It's Santino, my bad.
No, Santiago is the kid from A Few Good Men. Did you kill Private Santiago? And he's like, you want me on that wall? I'm just
that's definitely why I confused him. Yeah,
we're gonna move on.
And he watched him back to back last night.
Santino D'Angelino wants to cash in John's marker. He's the one that helped John get out in the first place, do that that incredible thing that we don't really know, but we'll probably get a prequel of one day starring Jonathan Taylor Thomas or whoever the fucking cool new actor is coming up.
Yep.
But he was like, now I want you to do me a favor, and John says, don't. He says, don't do this. I won't do this for you. Tim Getty's been kind of funny.
Obviously, I'm asking questions that I don't want future
don't
spoilers
get into future spoilers,
for,
bro.
But just with the rules of this movie, I'm a little lost on the marker thing of how it works.
John said, I want to get out. Went to Santino. Santino said, cool, I will help you get out, but I will carry your marker now. Basically, blood oath. You owe me a favor. You cannot say no to me. So I did you a solid, and then somewhere down the line, you owe me and you can't say no. If you do say no, basically the high table comes in and kills you because it's like a thing. Kevin from Kind of Funny.
Well, I think I have a small point of clarification and then a second question. Sure. I think what happened is the other guy, the Russian dude, gave him the mission and he needed help. And he went up to Sonny and he was like, hey, my dude, I'm going to need help that only you can give. And Sonny was like, hey, make me the promise someday you'll repay the favor. Now, my question is, it seems like he didn't have to repay the favor because he was out. And the favor only came back into, like, being a thing if he came back into the world, which he did. Oh. And that's why this guy's like, hey, man, it's time for that favor. It's weird to give someone a favor, but be like, all right, but, like, if you never come back, then you don't got to worry about it, you know?
So my clarification on that is, they needed a plot for this movie. So they were just like, have a guy come in, marker, all that bullshit.
I guess the real response is Sonny didn't believe that he was out for good, you know?
Last movie, he came back. Like, he definitely came back. Even right, despite not wanting to come back, he came back. And so Sonny's like, you're back in the shit. You owe me the marker. Let's go, right? Blood oath, cool thing. It always freaks me out, Andy, when you have
the
fucking
thumb. Yeah.
And it just sticks out of the top. That sounds
dangerous. I like that. I mean,
Joey, COVID, we're talking about COVID. We're talking about, all sorts of stuff. I always get reminded with this little device of something from Uncharted. It seems like something that would, you put the thing and then, like, you know, demons start coming out of the ground or something like that. Spoilers.
No future spoilers. But, like, does this imply that every assassin has a marker?
No future spoilers. We're not going to go into that. Don't ask that question. It comes back up eventually. Yes.
Okay.
Okay. The marker has more significance to the grander world, as does the high table. We get more of that. Don't think they reference it in this, but I think
then maybe let's not talk about it.
No more questions. No more answers.
Tim, look down at your hands. Now look at the sky. Now flex your hands, Andy, for later. Let's do it. Tiger paw, table.
I thought it was like a hand job thing.
No, it's just stretch your hands for arthritis, like for when you're gaming.
For the zone. All right, let's get back into it. John.
Table paw?
I said tiger claw, tabletop. Table paw. That's what I said. Sorry, Joe. It doesn't make any sense. I'm making shit up as we go along. We're doing jazz here, ladies and gentlemen. Because, of course.
Really bad jazz.
John, yeah, it's that kind of jazz that your kid does.
It's a fucking kazoo. Like,
fuck, pick anything else. Pick another hobby, kid. John refuses him, so Santino blows up his house and kills his dog, JK. We can't use that more than once. Jimmy the cop comes back. I love this little cameo. He says, gas leak. And John says, gas leak. And then he's like, you working again, John? And John's like, you know what, Jimmy? Fuck you. Is what John says. Shut the fuck up, Jimmy. Don't ask questions.
Random cop guy interaction is my secret delight.
I love it.
John Wick movies. It's so funny.
But yeah. John's just like, oh. Fuck off, Jimmy. You know, yeah, I'm doing some stuff. I'm sorting some shit out. Let's see. Instead of responding, he goes over to the Continental to speak with the manager. We get a cute scene where he tells the dog to stay, and then it cuts wide, and the dog's just staring at Lance Reddick, and Lance Reddick's staring back. And this relationship between him and the dog is fucking everything, and I love it. Winston tells him that there are two rules that cannot be broken. Two rules, Jonathan, that can't be broken. No business on Continental grounds, and every marker must be honored. Do what the man asks, then be free, or the high table will ice you. Lance Reddick offers to board the dog after John's like, hey, do you guys board? And Lance Reddick's like, we do not, but I would be more than happy to take it for you. And then he heads to Santino's, where he is greeted by Ruby Rose, who pats him down. Kevin, did you have a question?
No, I'm more of a statement. I love what this face's relationship with this dog.
What is his face?
I don't know. God, it's Lance Reddick. That's it.
I'm gonna say his name is Sharon, and because that's how it was spelled.
I'm gonna look it up now.
It's Charon, so I don't know if that's
so. I don't know if it's French or if it's a different. I don't know.
Let's say Charon. Let's say Charon.
I really like his relationship with the dog, and it's just one of those cute little moments of like. I'll take the dog. And it's like, ah, oh, this dog's not getting murdered.
Now, Tim, I know you haven't seen John Wick 3, but would you believe that a solid hour of it is devoted just to their relationship, just Lance Reddick and the dog?
Just hanging out, palling around. Another thing that I love about this movie is the lack of use of the dog. We get the introduction to the dog last movie. I want to see him fuck some shit up. I'm still expecting we'll get it one day. Tim. But the dog getting kind of sidelined in this, I was like, all right.
No, never mind. Just I can't wait till next week. Let's see. John heads
what could that mean?
To the bank to get his turtleneck, and then off we go to the Continental in Rome. He meets up with Julius, played by Franco Nero, I believe, is a very, very important Italian actor, and I should know this, but I don't, so I'm not a real Italian. Dude's got a ponytail just like I had in high school, Kevin, and if you want to see it, I got a couple pictures of my old high school ID that I'll post on the gram, ladies and gentlemen.
Can you post it on Twitter for the people that don't follow you on Instagram?
Yeah. No, I'm sorry, I cannot.
Okay.
Andy, it's... so bad that I want to bully myself, but you can't look at those moments and think that's bad. You make mistakes in high school, you move on.
Yeah, your camera's freezing up real good.
Is my camera freezing up?
I don't know. Actually, it stopped.
Okay. I love this scene, by the way, because Julius asks him, he goes, I have to ask you a question in Italian, of course, but I'm doing
it. Oh my God, I love this.
He goes,
scene too.
Are you here for the Pope? And he's like, no. He's like, oh, okay, cool. Well, welcome to the condo.
And again, the subtitles like coming up on screen with random words being different colors and fonts. And I love just Pope, just like hella big and like red. Great.
He runs a few more errands, which includes visiting Peter Serafinowicz, who is the guy from all the Shaun of the Dead stuff. Yeah.
Yep.
Love him. And I love this scene. Yeah. He's the roommate, plays Peter. He goes there for some dope guns. And then he has a suit made of bulletproof material. And I love this scene. It goes on for way too long, but who the hell cares, because they're doing all the cool gun stuff. And then what's up, Kev?
I just want to say how much I enjoy these fucking movies, because there's a moment where they introduce the suit and they're like, it's bulletproof. And then they're also like, oh, yeah, also it's going to hurt a lot. And a question I had that I was like, hey, Joey, how do you think are they breaking through the cloth and then getting stuck inside the clothes? Or are they bouncing off? I had a question. And later, when he's going through the
he like shakes it out.
Yeah, catacombs. He like hits his chest and they all pop off. And it's just like, fuck, this movie's so good.
There's a great moment in this, and I didn't write down the actual, but I'll paraphrase, where they're like, do you want it for day and night? And he goes, one for each. And then I think the seamstress asks him, like, what kind of material would you like? And he goes, tactical.
Yeah. For the fucking lighting. No, dude. You said the scene went on too long. I entirely disagree. This movie has two separate, I don't even know how to refer to them because they're not necessarily montages. I just think they're actually really clever ways of editing and pacing to
the fight scene, the other fight scene too.
Well, the fight scene I would even categorize as like a third thing. Oh yeah, sorry. Yes, when he's fighting the violin assassin and like those people.
Yeah. And the guys with the
I just think it's really smart instead of doing like one thing after another of like, okay, you fight this person, then you go fight this person. Like cutting back and forth between the three, we can kind of cut out a lot of the fat and just get to the good stuff. Yep. And they did that here as well, where instead of him having to go on video game fetch quests of going to all the different places, it's kind of like we're getting all of it at once. And I feel like kind of built really nicely over the whatever 5 minutes it was. But him going to the gun place that is also the wine place and like talking about guns as if they're so wine. Good. It's just so fucking good.
If the sommelier is there and you're like, that's so cool. And also now every time I go to a plush hotel, I'm going to wonder, is there some room here that has guns in it?
That I can
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yes. I feel I'm with you, Tim, on these. They feel almost like makeover scenes and like rom-commy things where it's like, we want to show all of these pieces, but we only want the good stuff of it. And so it's like, let's just get the high level details. But it's really cool to see them in more of like an action-y form. And it's always fun when they talk in like secret code about things.
And I think it's really neat that John Wick is also sort of, who's all obviously a master of weaponry, getting kind of schooled with some newer tech and being told by the gun guy, oh, this is this new fucking thing. You're going to love this shit, dude. Like, I love that John, and he tries out, reloads it.
He does this thing, Andy?
He does a thing where he does a...
Yeah. That's so cool.
And it's like, ah, dude, he's loving this shit right now, dude. And I love the guy who is the what's it called? The
sommelier? Taylor?
No, the Taylor. I love his demeanor. I love his sort of vibe. He's just kind of... very positive, very like, and what will that be, Mr. Wick? Okay, great, we can do that. Like, he's just so sick. It's just an awesome sequence. All of this is, the best of the best. We're getting the highlights of all those moments. And again, just adding more really cool world building to a universe that I'm already falling in love with.
Somebody said, was it last week that we clarified? Somebody said in the comments, or maybe it was last week we talked about this. I apologize if we've talked about it before. But when I was mentioning that, he does that cool thing where he slides it back with the slide back with his thumb to check and see if there's a bullet in the chamber.
Yeah.
And I think somebody in the comments said that's because that particular gun.
I said like, that.
You said that, Joe. That's so fucking cool. And he does it again here where he like – I'm sorry.
There's another shot that he does a little bit later when he – has one hand, to load the gun or to cock it. He like drops it, catches it, grabs it with his index and thumb, and pulls it back with one hand. And it's just one of those things where it's like, that looks insane.
And you wonder, how are these weapons going to be put into effect? And then when the fight actually happens, you see how it's all planned out and how he had them all put in the perfect spots. The coolest shit of all time.
It's too fucking good.
Of course, he gets the AR. He gets, he gets an auto shotgun, and he's got a couple other fun little nooks and crannies there. So off we go to he goes down into the catacombs to hide all that stuff, and then we get the arrival of Gianna D'Antonio, who, by the way, is I think this is kind of her coronation, kind of like she is now taking her seat at one of the 12 high tables. I think we skipped a part where Santino was like, hey, I want you to kill my sister. That's the goal. That's the whole point here. So John's going to kill her because Santino wants her seat at the table. You would think there would be some sort of process in place where you can't just kill someone and take their seat. But hey, this is the table we're talking about, Tim. Well, what do I know? I'm still sitting at the stool.
Well, that's the whole point of him killing John afterwards, right? hide
so that
the evidence.
He just nobody yeah. knows. Yeah, nobody good knows. Point. Good point. Yeah. Jonna takes care of some business, then goes to freshen up in an amazing bathroom where John catches her slipping. Hold on.
I can't let us just go through this so quickly because this might be one of my favorite fucking scenes in not video games, movie history, where it starts off where there is a live fucking like music. Event happening for this coronation, and it's so epic, and they're walking and it's like there's this epic music playing where we first see her and Common and just the crew walking like badasses, and it's like this is actually happening in this world, like that is so fucking cool. And you start seeing like, okay, there's like this castle, they're like, okay, there's catacombs, there's this stage, and I'm like sitting here thinking we're about to get a fucking fight scene that is so dope. And it's like, we've seen the first movie. We've seen the club scene. It's like, I don't know that they can outdo that. They did.
I mean, they really fucking did. They certainly tried. And of course, one of John Wick has to be John going through a crowd, headshotting people and firing from the hip during just nasty dubstep playing in the background. Just nasty.
DJ Castlevania. The name of those DJs.
Yes.
I do want to say, Cap, what were you gonna say? There's something I think that's so cool about the fact that like we're like, oh, it's going to go down. It's going to be really insane. He's going to get in there and have to kill this woman. But no, like instead we're like, he sneaks in there, doesn't get caught. And then she kind of kills herself. And then he's like sneaking out, and that's
kills
when he
herself.
Well,
AKA
mean,
the most ridiculous killing self scene I've ever
that
fucking
was really
seen.
Cool. It was really cool.
Using her like hair comb thing.
Yeah, yeah.
God.
Which would that even work in your hair? Unless I guess there might be a sheath in there still. It doesn't matter. I just
know,
feel
Kevin,
like
I don't have a lot of hair.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. I just feel like that juxtaposition of like, hey, the action's about to go down. And then just be like, oh, no, you're going to wait a little bit and let yourself enjoy this moment. Think about how much you'd like this hot tub. And there you go. It's like, I really like that.
They do a good job also.
Bullet in her head.
He has to, right? And someone brought that up the other day where I was like, I wonder what he could have just slinked away. But obviously he has to have proof that he was there and killed her. So I guess that's the whole point of that. Of course, we get a great scene next with what Common sees him. He's like, John. And John's like, fuck. And it's all subtext in this where he's like, you working? He's like, yep. You? Common's like, yep. And they realize at that point like what's about to go down, and it just then they just quick draw on each other and they both shoot each other's cool tactical bulletproof suits, and then they both go down and you're like, does Common have a bulletproof suit too?
Oh yeah, he does.
Is Common a super assassin too? And let me tell you guys, we talked about this a little bit before, but Common speaking Italian in this
so bad.
Is just, but he's it's my favorite. It's my
I mean,
favorite.
But I mean, it's Common. It's not like I'm fine with it because he's an American man trying to speaking Italian. So I'm like, it's whatever. It doesn't have to sound convinced. It's how I would, it's, you know, how white people sound trying to speak Spanish, you know, that sort of thing. It's like, oh, that's just how. Now, if he was trying to play an Italian man born in Italy, then it would have been a lot worse. But I love the extra added subtext where Common asks him a question, not only like, are you working? And then he says like, having a rough one or something like that, and he's
he's having a good night, and he says
having a good one.
And he goes, sorry to hear that, or something like that. He knows what you just did. Like, I know what you just did. It's so cool. It's the same sort of subtext we have with Kevin Nash in Part One, you know, where they're speaking in code to each other. It's really, really cool.
I do have a question about that though, because the having a rough one comment gets brought up later, and I couldn't figure out like what the meaning of it was in that context.
No,
like, I guess.
I don't think he asked him having a rough one. That comes up later. Now he was like, he said, you having a good night. And then he was like, unfortunately.
Which means,
did you get the job done?
I was successful.
Yeah. And it's
so
like,
what does the rough one mean?
Well later on, it just means rough.
I don't think there was subtext. He just saw him bleeding and fucked up. And he was like, man, it looks like you've been having a rough one sort of thing. I think it was just like, you know, you're not too successful tonight.
Either way, John runs off as Common runs to go check on his ward, as he calls her, which I think is always a cool word. And then John kills.
Doesn't that not mean?
No,
ward, it's not ward bodyguard.
Yeah,
that's like ward of the state.
But maybe who knows? We don't really know that relationship. Maybe she was like a mentor to him, and he was like, "I'll protect you." And
right
that
then, kind of he like, would be her ward.
Correct. Right? I don't know why mentor, he used that particular. Yeah, like I think Robin was the ward of Bruce Wayne, right?
Right, which is someone like Dick Grayson, kind of adopted, right?
But also that you can still tell him the clean stuff, and it's cool. It's okay. That's a relationship, right?
No, you can tell kids that. You can tell them to clean stuff if you adopt them. Oh, I guess no. I don't watch Batman Robin that closely. Verb to guard or protect, admit to the care of a hospital ward. No, that's
Well, okay. Well, there you go. Learn a new thing, everyone. Andy, the word of the day is apple. Apple.
He got me. Pink ladies.
All right. John, of course, runs out into the crowd. And here's the weird thing. Is that just a rave that was happening and this shit was happening behind it? Or is the rave part of the whole ceremony? Because it looked like there's a lot of random people there that were just having a good time.
Was it a coronation? You guys are throwing coronation out a lot. But I didn't.
It was a coronation.
It was?
Because it looked like everyone was there to meet her. And she got out and everyone was there coronation earlier. Watching her. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And the like, crowd also not surprised at all that there are all these headshots in the crowd.
Yeah, it's true. Like, they were very chill.
Like,
but
we're used to this. This is kind of our environment.
So then I guess the high table is not as secretive as I had originally.
I think if you're in that world, right? You know about the high table.
Yeah.
I mean, just the thing with this movie, by the time we get to the end, and again, it's hard not knowing what happens in the next movie, but like, it seems like the entire world is in on this whole thing at this point.
Yeah, that's true.
Like the scene of like Keanu getting chased down by every single person with their cell phone ringing. It's like there wasn't a person that wasn't an assassin of some form.
Well, I read that scene at the end of like everyone kind of knew what was going down and they all kind of tried to go track down John. But the woman with the kid was the most eerie one because I was like, is there a kid in there or is there like a Mac-10?
Yeah, the kid pops out with a little gun.
With a stogie. You're like, how does that kid smoking a cigarette? Anyway, so John kills half of the crowd and then runs into the gauntlet of guns that he has placed in the catacomb. And this scene is just freaking awesome. And also, by the way, very economical way of shooting because everyone, all the bad guys are wearing face masks. So really, Kevin, all you needed was like five guys for this whole thing. And then you just keep redressing them in different stuff.
Sure.
Very, very smart on Chad's, the Halsky's way of doing things. My personal favorite is the auto shotgun that he has, which is just so brutal. Rad. And he has that moment where he runs out of bullets or shells, excuse me. Let me use the proper terminology.
Thank you.
And then pins the guy down with the barrel of the shotgun and then puts one more shell in there and like bah, and then cocks it and blows it away and then goes about his business.
But it's that muffled sound. It's the muffled gun. Like it's like that muffled sound effect when he does have him pinned down where it isn't the loud ringing out, it's just like a like it's a low resonance.
Yeah,
he can't hear it. So sick.
Tim, the throwing the gun is such a like way more realistic because like no one would hang on to a gun. You're not gonna find shotgun shells down there.
It's not a video game.
Yeah,
it's not like there's gonna be ammo just hanging around. I thought that was so cool. This entire scene, I just think, is expertly crafted. It's such a fantastic action scene, and like it really is an example of why John Wick as a franchise stands above even some of the best action movie franchises like the Mission Impossible, Fast and Furious of the world, where it's like they really just understand what they're good at. And they're like, we're going to make sure that we spare no expense. And every single time he switches a gun, it switches up the entire style of the scene and the way that they use the environment. And they always make sure they're in the coolest environments humanly possible. But I've never seen a movie feel as much like a good video game experience as this scene where he's going through shotgunning people perfectly, kind of hiding to reload his shit, come out and like just keep going, but it never feels slow. It reloading should be the least fun thing to watch. This movie makes it really fucking fun and investing. Like I almost feel like I'm interacting with this thing.
Yeah.
Which is such a unique experience.
They do such a good job though, because when he's reloading, it's always perfectly paced to the point where he just finishes as someone comes into the background or the foreground that he has to then shoot. And so it really does add to that tension. And you're absolutely right, Tim. Like, it should be boring, but it really kind of it just brings more fun to the scene.
There's the cool moment in the shotgun sequence where he is reloading for a while, sees somebody, pulls out the handgun, shoots it twice, then goes back to reloading.
Right.
Really neat moment there. I also love, I think my favorite move is this new segment, favorite move. Favorite move by John Wick. Mine is the one where he takes the pistol and shoots him in the knee and then the head. That's the move right there. Where like where somebody just pops out of the corner and he just goes real quick, choo choo, and it's like knee head, and it's just like the quick succession, the accuracy of all of it. It every time. I don't know, man. I'm surprised I'm not tired of it by now with how many sequences utilize those moments, and it's still great because it's always done a little bit different here and there. You know?
And that's
I feel like they keep adding new moves.
Yeah.
There's a commitment to keeping it fresh and having new moves. And it's like this, the opening action scene of this movie, I think is fantastic. And we talked about it earlier. We get to this scene. And again, this is like, it's 20 minutes of pure just fucking carnage and ridiculousness. But I love that it is relentless of waves of people coming and it is just death, 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 death. But there is such a good pace to it that like they do have those moments to chill for a sec to then get back into it. The kill count for this movie, guys, I want to ask you, 74. See where you're at. Because last movie we had 77.
Damn it.
How many were in this one?
I'm going to guess 122.
Damn, that's exactly what I had. I'm
going to say 108.
100.
I wasn't. God damn it.
And 28.
Fuck, that was what I was going to guess.
You guys were real close.
Andy
got
it.
Thanks for giving me a chance, Tim, you fuck.
Congratulations, Andy.
Also, how many times will they use this where it's hold the guy down, doo, doo, look at the guy, shoot him in the head? Like, there's always that moment.
Use it as many times as you want.
The guys, yeah, exactly, right, Kevin? The guy's on the ground. He's got him in some crazy chokehold. He told the guy to take off his shoe or whatever. Two guys run in, boom, boom, two headshots, look back at the guy. And you know the guys in the headlock is just like, ah, this sucks. Like, here it goes. But John Wick, you got to be careful, man. You've almost shot your foot twice with people in leg locks.
There was a moment where he shoots a dude and like the guy's head explodes and goes all over the wall behind him. And it's like,
yeah, and he's in a leg lock.
Yeah. And it's like, did the bone that came off that dude's head hit your foot and hurt? Or is that not hurt? Where are you at with the pain?
Who knows,
there,
Kevin?
Because that looks painful. That doesn't look fun.
Before we move on with the plot, let me tell you about our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Babbel. Salud, mi familia. That means cheers, my family, in Spanish. And guess what? I know that because of Babbel, the number one selling language learning app. One of the goals that Greg Miller's been talking to me about for a long time is learning a new language, specifically French, so he can speak to his wife, Geneviève. That's how you say that in, you know, the right amount of Frenchness and all that. Babbel's 15-minute lessons make it the perfect way to learn a new language on the go, unlike the infamous language classes you took in high school, which I never, ever did well at. Babbel designs their courses with practical, real-world conversations in mind, things you'll get to use in everyday life. Other language learning apps use AI for their lesson plans, but Babbel lessons were created by over 100 language experts. Plus, Babbel's speech recognition technology helps you to improve your pronunciation and accent. That is very valuable stuff, especially for Common. He could have used this probably when he was trying to learn Italian for John Wick Chapter 2. Right now, when you purchase a 3-month Babbel subscription, you'll get an additional 3 months for free. That's 6 months for the price of three. Just go to babbel.com and use promo code MORNING. That's BABBEL.com, code MORNING, for an extra 3 months free. Babbel, language for life. And next up, shout out to MeUndies. Let's talk about love. Yeah, we're doing it. If there's one thing that got us through this past year, other than the video of Dogface vibing to Fleetwood Mac, what a specific reference. You gotta love it. It is love. And that means getting extra cheesy for Valentine's Day is okay. We will allow it. Despite everything, MeUndies has found new ways to match our daily lives together with the ones that we love most. That's why MeUndies released their V-Day collection in undies, loungewear, and more, so you and your Valentine can match through it all. I've been team MeUndies for years. You guys already know that. Even right now, MeUndies shirt, MeUndies lounge pants, MeUndies undies, MeUndies socks. I'm wearing them all. When you guys going to make bomber jackets, let me know. But this week marks the first time ever that Gia Harris also rocking the MeUndies. Me and her got to match, and I'm feeling real good about it. We don't have the Valentine's Day ones yet, but I'm sure they're on their way. Very exciting stuff. MeUndies are made with sustainable, breathable, softer than soft fabric, and available in a range of sizes from extra small all the way up to 4XL. You can get 15% off your order and free shipping by going to MeUndies.com/morning. That's MeUndies.com/morning. Go check it out. Get 50% off your order. Free shipping. Why wouldn't you do it? MeUndies.com/morning.
Well, there you go. Moving along, of course, he gets out of the catacombs, and this starts what I actually would say excuse me, is the best single hand-to-hand fight scene as of yet in this franchise, where both he and Common throw each other down the staircase, and when they get up, they just go toe for toe, man. Tit for tat. No. What's the word I'm looking for? They go, excuse me.
Mano y mano.
Mano y mano.
Yeah, here, let me take a sip.
Hand to foot.
Some great hand to mouth.
CQC, a little CQC some right there.
Great choreography here. Yeah. One of the things I wanted to point out was that John does the throw that he does a lot in the first movie, but Common reverses it into an armbar, which is really fucking cool. And then when the armbar fails, because John pulls it out, Common grabs his sleeve and does what's called a lasso, where he snakes his foot in between the arm and the sleeve and then inverts and goes to take John's back. It's all really, really, really like, I want to say high level jujitsu, but it's just not shit that you see normally in choreography because it's hard to pull off convincingly. Really, really cool. Of course, the whole scene then culminates with him crashing through the window into the Continental. And then the guy's like, hey, you're in the Continental now. You're on holy ground. You can't walk. Yes, Ken.
Is just a jujitsu technical question here. Is that how you get out of an arm bar like that where you fight the hand?
I can't remember exactly how he got out of it, but I can't remember.
He like grabbed the.
So you'd grab your own hand traditionally?
Yeah, that's what he did. He grabbed his own hand.
You grab your own hand and then you'd either want to pull it out. You don't want to pull it out because you're risking going into the armbar. What you do is, depending on the positioning, you want to grab your own hand and try to get your elbow down, or you want to do what's called a hitchhiker escape where you kind of go around the guy's legs.
Okay.
In that regard, though, if it's not deep enough, you can pull it out. But it's difficult to do when you're wearing clothing because someone can grab your sleeve and pull you back in and tighten it. In this case, I mean, he does like a triangle in this too and shoots another dude's fucking head. It's fucking awesome. All the stuff in this is so cool. And Common, shout out to Common because he pulls this stuff off too. It looks really good because he did a lot of he looked like he was doing the inversions. And that's actually a very hard mechanic to get your head wrapped around unless you've like drilled it a bunch of times in jiu-jitsu. So anyway, they crash through there and Franco Nero's like, gentlemen, have a drink. They go to have a drink.
Predictable, but rad as fuck.
Yep.
Awesome. I didn't see it coming.
Into the Continental.
I didn't realize that that's where he's going for, but it was cool. They go to have a drink, and of course, it proves they do know each other. They know each other's liquid of choice. Of course, Common likes gin, and John is a bourbon man. Common explains to him, he says, hey, man, well, congrats. He talks to him about the marker and says, I didn't want to kill Gianna, but Santino made me do it. He had my marker. And Common's like, that's unfortunate, but hey, you're free now, right? And John goes, am I? And Common goes, no. It is fucking awesome, as in you killed my ward, and I gotta kill you, man. That's just how this has to go. And he's like, shit. But there's a part of me that's like, come on, dude. Like, just forgive him and team up. Team up. Come on.
It'd be really cool.
Of course, then Aries, by the way, who's played by Ruby Rose, is everywhere. She keeps watching him do this whole thing. And I forgot to mention that she tried to ambush him in the catacombs to tie up loose ends, quote unquote. She signs to him, be seeing you. And then John signs back, not if I see you first. And you're like, yeah, it's on.
He didn't say it, but how about you say it, Nick?
Not if I see you first. I don't know why I hiccuped there.
That was really good. But
that was the best one that you've
had. It helped, man.
Because he always has that moment where he like kind of like swallows for a second before he talks. He pauses. Like it's hard to get, like it hurts him to get the words out because he's so angelically beautiful that the words themselves, like we don't deserve them.
Sure.
Yeah. And so he has, you know what I mean?
He has to force it out of his body. Yeah.
Can you imagine John Wick having a conversation with Dominic Toretto?
Oh my God.
Because that's literally all I want at this point.
Yeah,
Dominic, man. That's
actually a different guy.
Jason Statham. Little important moment here. John tries to check his phone again to listen to that video, like to watch the video of his wife one more time. And the thing is just broken beyond repair. And it's very thematically relevant. Santino calls him and is like, John, we can talk this out. You have to. And then John just hangs up on him, which I love. I love the John Wick hang up.
Is that the moment where he's like, what kind of man would I be if my like,
if I didn't, yeah, if I didn't try to
avenge my sister? It's like,
avenge my sister's death.
Yeah. You motherfucker.
What a moment. What a
you
cool moment.
Like, I can't wait for this guy to murder you.
And yeah, exactly. John, of course, heads back to New York, where Santino has opened a $7 million contract on his head. Winston makes Santino record the mark, even though Santino's like, no, John's going to be dead. And Winston's like, we have rules here. He fulfilled the job, record the marker, and his debt to you is now repaid. And then the order goes out, and literally everyone immediately tries to kill John Wick.
Can we talk about the cool contract thing for a second before we do that? Like,
oh, where they go to
old school room with like all these girls that look like pinup girls that have all these cool tattoos. Yeah. And I think it's just a cool juxtaposition of like really modern old school stuff at the same time. And we see it again at the end, but I just think it's so cool.
It's another weird, like, just mishmash and just showing you how diverse this world is. Because again, we have a faction of people that pretend to be hobos. Like, yep, it's such a random ass thing. And yeah, I totally agree with you, Joey. Just the location they're in, and it's all the what do you call them?
Punch cards.
Telecommunication.
This is
old analog telephone. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but I forgot the operators, like the operators that you would call or whatever. Yeah, that's what I was looking for. I also want to make mention of Santino's. I think he had a really cool acting moment there when he does call John to tell him how, you know, you killed my sister. Now, you know, what kind of brother would I be to not like find revenge or not look for revenge? I think he has a cool moment there because he clearly knows what he's doing. And there's a kind of moment of fear when John Wick hangs up and you see this sort of like look of fuck, like, I know what I'm doing, but I also kind of regret this because I think John Wick can kill me. Like, even though I have so many fucking guards at John Wick, he's probably what at kill count 78 right now. And he'll probably like, I have, you know, 60 something guards. He's probably going to kill them as well. And there's a moment where he hangs up the call or realizes that John Wick hung up on him and was like, ah, damn. If I could go back 5 seconds, I'd probably take this back.
Maybe just let him live. Let him live.
Yeah.
Of course, this is when we get that cool scene Tim's talking about where John fights the... And by the way, I'll never, ever, ever look at musicians in metro stations ever again the same because now they're terrifying. He kills the violinist, a sumo wrestler, and he kills the sumo wrestler in the most violent way by like shooting down the top of his head.
So many times.
And then even still, the guy gets back up and he shoots him one more time in the head. And then, of course, we get the...
So unnecessary, but fucking cool. Because that guy got shot multiple times in the body, then in the head, then again in the head. It's like damn and a half.
It's such a boss, such a boss fight, Tim. Like, obviously, he's the big brute, right? He has more health, he's slower, but if he hits you, he's gonna knock you through giant plate glass, and requires two headshots to kill. It's the dumbest fucking thing ever, but it's so cool, man. And I love that his big body, his big frame is like absorbing these other gunshots. As you know, as if like he has more health as a bad guy.
I'm kind of so shocked. Great. That we haven't had more John Wick games. We did have that one, but like
Mike Bithell,
the Bithell game,
John Wick Hex,
which was fun, But it's just one of those things. Like this seems like a franchise that's ready to be like turned into a video game.
I totally agree.
Of course, John.
But do you want it to be like Uncharted-y, or would you want it to be like Hitman-y?
We could do a little bit of
Hitman-y.
I do a little
definitely bit. Hitman-y, but with like I want to hit
the option.
I wanted the sneaking of Hitman, but I want the combat of Batman Arkham Asylum. That's what I want. John, of course, ends up killing two other dudes with a pencil, so we get that nice callback of the pencil, which is hilarious.
Was so hilarious, brutal. But like
unnecessary.
A little like two guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on. You got to go.
What
four.
About the third?
Four? Like, I was a little like, what a weird, bizarre choice for them to make of like, we know that he killed three guys with a pencil. Why have him kill two guys now?
Yeah, no, I agree with you, Tim. I agree. It's an easy opportunity to sort of want and have a cool movie moment that obviously if you watch these movies, you know, because we heard Homeboy in part one say it. We heard
they say it again in this
guy
one.
From, guy from... Bruce Willis, Armageddon. I was going to say Armageddon Day, but that's Independence Day.
Very close movies, very close together. Of course, Common catches up with John, and they have the most amazing scene where they have a silenced handgun fight in the subway station. And it's just pew, 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 pew. And
that nobody's gives so much fucking anxiety. So much anxiety. They're just going to murder everyone around them.
And then so they fight great. On the train itself, and John stabs him in the heart, but keeps the knife in there so that Common doesn't die. And I say, team up in John Wick 4?
Question mark.
Also, so many people on that subway were just like, this is happening. And it's not till like the very end where they were like, oh, maybe we should leave.
Yeah, we should get the fuck out of here. John gives a homeless dude one of his special gold coins, and the guy immediately stops his act and hides John in some garbage and then kills the two guys that are coming after him. At this point, I wish I could have seen Tim's face, because I don't know if Tim knew that Lawrence Fishburne was in this movie.
Not a chance, man.
And when it happens, Tim, what was your reaction to it?
I mean, it was so fucking awesome. And like we've talked about a little bit already, like the homeless guys like being all in this, them kind of being this homeless crew where it's like they have access to being able to transport people, and like they kind of implied like the idea of tunnels and all that stuff. I loved that, but also the fucking pigeons. The idea of Lawrence Fishburne and his crew having this group of messenger pigeons is the coolest damn thing. Gave me so many Hey Arnold vibes.
Oh my God, yes.
Loved it so much, right? Like it was just so awesome. Great world building.
Yeah, they all have their quirks. Could not be better. Yeah. They all have their quirks. They all have their passive abilities, if you will.
Yeah,
you
know? Totally.
That's so funny.
This scene is not the one, but there was a rooftop scene in the beginning where John Wick was talking to the head guy, Winston, I think his name is.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, Winston.
On a rooftop. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
He like interrupts the gold meeting.
Did that place look familiar to you guys?
No. Yes, that was
where...
Have
we been there for E3 or what?
No, isn't that where Fantastic Four get married in the second Fantastic Four movie?
You know, that
Spider-Man
might be
also.
True,
Spider-Man, yeah.
And Mary Jane. It's where Mary Jane and Green Goblin, the whole thing. And I was like, this looks so familiar. And then I like Googled it. I'm like, this is exactly what I was thinking about. So yeah,
well,
there
and
you
the,
go.
The like, opening shot of the Continental of like the entrance is like something in The Dark Knight or The Dark Knight. I think it's Dark Knight Rises. I think it's supposed to be like.
Oh my God. Is it the stock exchange?
It's
place?
Wall Street. Yeah. Wall Street. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Mm. Oh, it totally fucking is.
That's cool.
That's cool. Wow. Nice. Of course, John then
place
gets
to pick.
John Sorry. Gets brought to the Bowery King and he tries to reason with them. He's like, listen, man, if Santino's trying to move in on New York, and Morpheus is like, dude, New York's my shit, nobody can take the Bowery King, what belongs to the Bowery King. And John's like, listen, I'm gonna level with you right now. You kill him and the Kimura and the High Table come after you. I kill Santino and they come for me. So I guess you have a choice. You want a war, or do you want to just give me a gun? And then Lawrence Fishburne in
you're getting better, it's impressive,
in the most I only have 5 minutes for this take, so you're going to just use whatever I fucking give you, goes, somebody please get this man a gun.
Oh, come on. He nailed it. That was perfect.
And then I would have been like, Larry, great first take. Can we come back down to 10? Because you're at a 15 right now. I need you at like a 10.
This whole world is comic book characters. This whole world, everybody's got to have their quirks, man. God, I love that. Him. I love that moment. It's so good.
And of course, I love it, especially him in his robe.
Yeah,
like, I like him, hey, I'm this homeless guy. They go down, and he just has this baller ass fucking
silk robe.
Well, one thing I didn't notice the first couple times I watched this, just because I was so fascinated to just watch Lawrence Fishburne on screen, is that John's like, this is what's happening, and he's like, I know, and he takes him to like the vision board where it's got all the strings. He's just been tracking this whole thing. So he knows what's coming, and he knew John would eventually come to him, which I thought was kind of cool. Of course, he gives John a Kimber 1911 with 7 rounds, one for each of the millions that he's giving up to help John. And then as he leaves, he says, remember, John, you owe me. And then John goes, you don't want me owing you. And then
what does that even mean? Who can even know? It's awesome.
It means the last person I owed, I'm now trying to kill. So funny. Let's just call this even and we'll move on. John heads up to the party and murders everyone. He chases Santino into the room from Enter the Dragon. And then Santino starts talking mad shit about him. And he says, killing me will make this so much worse for you, John. John, I think you're addicted to this. I think you have a problem. And John's like, I'm not addicted to this, motherfucker. You blew up my house and you forced me to do this shit. Mm-hmm. Now I have to kill you in the head in a nice lounge. More of Santino's people show up, including Ruby Rose. And John fights another mini boss that looks a little like Darren Brazil. And then Ares saves Santino and tries to wink at him, but two come out, and you're like, I guess that's the best take we got. John Stahowski, Chad Stahowski. John puts the mini boss into a triangle choke and then shoots him in the head. Ares hangs back to kill John with a cool knife, but he gets the better of her and then stabs her through her own hand and into her heart. And then before dying, she signs one more time to him, be seeing you. And then John just signs back, sure, whatever, you're fucking dead.
Sure.
And dude, then she died.
Again, though, like, I know you said the Enter the Dragon thing, but like, this is another example of they didn't need to go this hard in the set, but
they went hard.
It's so the use of the mirrors, the use of lights, reflections, so cool. Like every single element is just so extra and engaging. Like, it's how just hard, visually stimulating.
It looks like it's sponsored by Hue.
Yeah,
with all the colors changing.
Andy, well, how you're hard about,
was it yeah. To cover the cameras? To hide the cameras.
Can you imagine?
They must have painted those things out like crazy. They had to have digitally gone in and painted them out, I imagine.
Because there's so many shots. I mean, there's even a shot towards the end of the whole sequence when he finally, where he shoots through a mirror and you see the guy get shot, which is an awesome moment. But that moment legitimately had, like, I felt kind of sick to my head and my stomach watching that one scene because of, like, just all the perspectives, and then he finally gets a shot off. But that was the one scene that really threw me off visually that I kind of want to watch back because I didn't even fully understand the placement and who was where. And I don't know. It was really visually confusing. But, yeah, this whole set piece is awesome. The lights, the coloring, the reflections, and even I love the shot where he does pop out behind the lights and Santino's having his whole little monologue and – he's trying to have his little, like, you know, this is my moment, John. Don't fuck this up. And John's like, you wanted me back. I'm back. It's just like, it's the coolest thing ever, dude. It's so
tasty.
When are people going to stop, like, learn to stop fucking with him? You know?
Yeah. It's
like, he did the job. Just let him go. Silly. Yeah.
Yeah. What last thing I want to say about the action in this scene that I really enjoyed, because like a lot of it was very fucking cool and the mirror stuff was cool, but it gets to the point where you're like, okay, I'm used to this. What's next? They get to a scene where it's hand-to-hand combat and the mirrors are kind of in a different type of formation than like the real close quarters thing. And as they're fighting, it's like the shot is kind of like Street Fighter style where we're seeing them from the side, but they're mirrored. So there's a whole bunch of them on different layers. And it's like, this is just so fucking well thought out where like they really thought about, okay, the editing of this and the way that they're shooting shot to shot, they want to be stimulating and kind of engaging as more than just dudes punching each other. Cause we've seen 2 hours of it already. And I was just blown away. I'm like, how are we still getting cool, interesting things on the fourth or fifth major action scene of this movie?
Of course, Santino heads straight to the Continental, where John follows him there. And when John catches up to him, he finds the man having a steak dinner, which looks really, really good. Santino makes a point of telling him that the menu there is so intricate and changes so much that he could probably stay in the Continental forever if he wanted to and not eat the same meal twice. And so John takes that as a sign of like, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and end this right now. And he shoots him right in the head. And the look of disappointment on Winston's face is just so heartbreaking, where he's like, Jonathan, what did you do?
So
and good. He's like, I shot him in the head, dude. Did you see that? It's all over the bar stools.
That gunshot was so loud and still shocks me. Like, I still don't expect it to happen. I expect there to be another sequence, but no, John Wick just says, nah, man, this ends here and I don't care what it means for my future. I'm just done with this shit. And I don't know, man, that moment still gets me every time because yeah, you can hear the fatherly mentor-like disappointment in Winston's line delivery there. It's really good.
Of course, John heads back out to the front desk to collect his dog, and Lance Reddick tells him he was a good dog. I have enjoyed his company. And it's a very, very endearing scene because he's basically like saying goodbye to him. John heads back to
the movie that's Lance Reddick and the dog. Like, I know. I want to know what adventures they go on.
Buddy cop.
What do they do?
Two things weird for me. One, the dog doesn't have a name. And two, every single time the dog is seen by a new character, the new character goes, does the dog have a name? That's a weird question to ask. Weird fucking question.
Well, it's a weird way to ask the question.
Multiple characters do it the exact same way in this movie. And I'm like, that's distracting writing, where but it's like, that's fucking weird.
This movie is the dog doesn't have a writings.
Name. Is it that dog, they don't, bro. They don't think that John's going to name the dog because, like, they know how fucking disconnected he is and how much of a psychopath, like, maybe, like, that he's not even human kind of thing, you know, or he doesn't
Tim,
treat things.
Actually, they're speaking in code, Tim. They're speaking in code.
I guess you're right.
Yeah, they're really right. Like, do you got any weapons? Are you here to kill me? Or
yeah.
That's really what
that's the problem, though, is, like, this movie is so smart and all the lines are that mean something. So when there's lines that are out of place, I'm often like, wow, that was fucking weird. I think it was weird in this.
John heads back to the ruins of his old house, and when he digs through the soot, he finds his wife's bracelet, and then Lance Reddick comes to collect him and drives him over to Winston, who tells him that he basically, like, they meet at that cool fountain in Central Park, and Winston tells him that the contract on his life has doubled, and it's gone international because the High Table's now picked it up, and unfortunately, he is excommunicado from the Continental and all its services.
Even that has to be extra cool.
It's yeah. cool.
The coolest phrasing you could come up with. Mm-hmm.
And then when John asks why he's not dead yet, because if you remember when Perkins in the last movie got excommunicated, she immediately got killed. Winston says, because I deemed it not to be. And then he does that unnecessary thing where he nods at his guy and his guy calls and then everyone stops around him. And you're like, dude, cool. Winston, but we know he's cool. We don't need him to like flex. That's just an unnecessary flex, in my opinion.
That's so cool.
He just wanted to tell him, like, hey, like, even you could have been put down by us if we needed to, but we're sparing.
That's very
you.
True.
Yeah.
That's true.
For now.
But
it's out of respect. It's like, I still got to follow the rules.
But my analytical brain always goes, like, hey, did they like, what do they rehearse this? Like, how does he just have these people on standby? Oh, is this trained. What they do for him?
It was like, hey, everybody stop moving. That's all they have to do.
Yeah.
In turn.
They created a big Facebook event, Kevin. Yeah. They just invited everybody.
At
like,
the
all
time,
right.
They were very popular, remember?
It's a flash mob, you know?
Yeah,
flash
Michael's going to call. You have your Bluetooth headphone in. You'll hear the command, and then you all stop walking. And also, there's going to be a lot of civilians and public people trying to walk in the park. Block them off. Don't let them walk in.
Block them off. That's an important part.
They're going to be weirded out.
Yeah.
They're going to be weirded out when they see everybody stop.
They're going to pull out cameras. They're going to be like, oh, it's a mob pit. One little thing that I want to bring attention to, a line that I really liked. Sonny is like yelling at him or something in the hotel. Like, kill him. Remember earlier? They're having a conversation. Winston and Sonny.
Oh, right. When he says kill him and he says, he's like, I own you or whatever. And he's like, you don't know shit.
This is my kingdom. World.
Yeah.
And it's just like,
I like that.
The hotel's his kingdom. He makes the rules. I love it. So cool.
And of course, John says, how much time do I have? He says, you have an hour. He gives John back his marker and wishes him luck. And then John asks Winston to deliver a message. He says, Winston, tell them all. Whoever comes, whoever it is, I'll kill them. I'll kill them all. And then Winston goes, of course you will. And you're like, I think he believes it. I think this was Winston's plan the whole time. Is Winston taking over? I don't know. And then John, of course, walks away as Winston picks up the phone and orders order 99 or 66, whatever the fuck it was from start. And he goes, John Wick. Excommunicado. And of course that order goes through all those cool like Joey was talking about, that cool production designed operators, and they throw it out there. And then John in a moment of rare vulnerability is walking away, and you're like, he's just exuding confidence. And then as he starts looking around and everyone's phones start going off, he starts picking up the pace a little bit. He starts full out running. He's like, I gotta get out of here. And that also is John Wick chapter 2.
Oh, yeah. So cool that when Winston calls it in and he gives his, like, number, because we've seen other people do that with contracts, his number's just zeros, all zeros.
Yeah.
It's like, oh. All one.
It was all, one. Yeah.
You're so cool.
Yeah. Seven syllables in the middle. You'll need five for the first and last line. If you're not poetic, no need to fret it. Haikus don't need to rhyme. Haiku in review. Haiku in review.
Everybody full stop.
You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny to write your review in haiku form, just like Matt Grover. Mirror fights are fun. D'Antonio thinks he's won. Get this man a gun.
Wow.
I love
That's
it.
That's great.
Yeah. Nicholas Price writes in and says, two men approach him. He killed them with the pencil. A fucking pencil.
Who the fuck even does that? I love, by the way, we didn't even talk about that. I love that, how much that actor hams. I got to learn his name, but he's like, who does that?
Miss Elanius writes in, said, I tried doing this for Hot Fuzz, but the new schedule threw me and I was too late. So I'm trying again. The plot in haikus. Three haikus for you guys.
Okay. Ooh.
Now it's gone farther. He's rejected his marker and things got harder. With the job now done, our boy John is on the run. That train scene was fun. 1 hour left here. No, sorry. 1 hour left right here. Now John Wick must disappear. It's worse than I feared. There you go. Okay.
They're so good.
Now I don't know if like is hour considered one or two syllables. That's the problem that I'm like, maybe it wasn't good. Maybe they just
No, I think it's you know it's just however
hour
you need to be.
Or hour.
It's hour.
That's a good
it's
fun, question, right? Andy.
I'm fascinated. Joey just texted me or slacked me the Wikipedia to Peter Stormare, who is the guy from the beginning who we all love, the Russian cosmonaut and all that. And he is Swedish. I did not know that. His full name is Rolf Peter Ingvar Storm, known professionally as Peter Stormare. That's cool as ice.
He's also like the narrator in Until Dawn, which is how I remember him.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Futon writes in and says, well, he got his car. Well, there goes his fucking car. Thought you loved this car.
That's funny.
He'll get it.
That's great. Let's do Ragu Bagu.
Bagu. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Rad Guys Talk Bad Guys for John Wick in Review. If you remember last week, of course, at number one is Josef Vigo and Dog Killers All Around the World. Where do we want to put Sonny Santino and Ares, God of War, in this?
I think they're
and
last.
Common. I think we got to put Common. Well, wait, don't forget about Common.
Yeah, Common. I feel like
Common was super rad, but I mean, I don't think that he was even as rad as the bad guys in the other one. At being a bad guy, his action scenes were definitely better for sure. And the fact that he's like, you know, kind of anti-hero potentially coming back, I enjoy that a lot.
I at first, Tim, I think I agreed with you, but now I'm not sure because I love all of Common's scenes with John Wick when it comes to not only the fight scenes, but the cool sit-down moments in the Continental. But I'm also thinking about just how kind of cool and sinister that Santino moment was of, you got to follow this thing, kill my sister, you're declining me, all right, I'm going to blow up your fucking house, all right? Because I built this shit, remember. This belongs to me, all right? Blows up the house, John Wick agrees, kills his sister, and then says, you killed my sister, dude. I got to get revenge on you. Like, it's such a bitch-ass move, and I respect it. You know?
But also, that is like, by the way, that's the move, right? Because isn't that the same thing that Tasloff did in the first one where he's like, here's my son, go kill him, we'll end this. And then when he kills him, he's like, I got to try to kill you, John, because what kind of dad would I be if I didn't avenge the death of my son? Didn't that happen, or am I misremembering?
No, you're right. And that's why I think this one's significantly less strong, because, like, I don't – it's so less believable in this one that this guy would go after John Wick based on what we know of John Wick and what they all know about John Wick. And it kind of feels like the movie makers kind of took a step back. We're like, okay, we're gonna depower. We're going to nerf John Wick just a little bit because there needs to be people that can take him down. And I just don't like that it was this guy because this guy didn't feel as scary as the bad guy from the first one.
Did anyone else think that maybe he's a vampire?
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I feel like
not a twist I was expecting John Wick.
I just feel like every time you're like, you see cool parties like that where everyone's dressed up at night, they look like vampires.
You're expecting for the blood to come out from the top. Like,
exactly. No, I remembered his face, so I looked him up, and he's Pino.
He's not a vampire.
Master of Love Season 2.
Oh,
the Italian boyfriend. I don't know. I felt like the dude in the first one was like never seemed like he thought he had a chance of saving his son. Like, it always seemed like, fuck, you fucked up, we're fucked, you're gonna die. And in this one, this guy scheming and like planning to murder John. So I feel like that's a better antagonist there, you know, than someone who's just kind of reacting and doesn't believe.
But my argument is that's an antagonist for a different movie. That's not an antagonist for Wick and what John Wick's been
Everyone thinks they can kill John Wick. Like, otherwise, the memo would go out, hey, $7 million on his head. And everyone's like, fuck that, I'm not going after him. You know?
Exactly.
Do you think that they all think that they can kill him because he's been out of the game?
Maybe.
I think they're just greedy. Like, yeah, they can get a moment of...
I think they think they can get a jump on him, and we hear Lawrence Fishburne talk about like $7 million. Like, that's a lot of fucking money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the contract that they put on in the first one was only 1 million, right?
I think so. Yeah. Or 2 million? 1 million? 2 million,
million, 2 million is what I
think. It was
2
million.
But if you evade the contract, Nick, you get a bunch of money, then you can go to the buy station and buy a UAV.
Exactly, dude. And then you have to buy me back. Dude, buy me back. Let's go.
What happened to Nick's?
I don't know. I'm trying to. I was trying to make sure it wasn't a filter on there, but it's not. It's just.
Who is your house haunted?
Freaking out, Nick! Your house is haunted. Get out!
Like he cool. looks fairly clear, but his background looks weird.
It's all the looks white. It looks terrible on it. Well, yeah, because you're not transmitting on your end. You're just seeing the video feed.
Oh no! Now he looks.
Yeah, the whole everything. His internet's gone.
Are you sure? Is there a chroma key on this for any reason?
I double checked that there is not.
Then fuck it. Let's roll.
All it right. looks like the effect from a lot of HBO shows when like an ink blot is dropped and it takes over the screen. It looks like the intros to a lot of HBO shows.
The Undoing, I think.
That's cool. Yeah. That's real cool.
Yeah, you look cool.
Well, I can't switch to a different camera, so this is where we're gonna go. Let's rank this bad
boy. I put the bad guys from part two above the bad guys from part one. Ragu bagu.
I agree with Andy.
I put them opposite. All right,
there you go. There you go. Well, let's vote. Let's vote real quick. Who thinks they're better? Who thinks the bad guys from John Wick Chapter 2 are better than the bad guys from John Wick Chapter 1?
I feel like I'm really only saying this because of Common, because I think that Ruby Rose really brings down the curse.
Oh, she
brings
Ruby down. Rose,
but
Common's not a bad guy. Like, the more we think about Common, it's like Common
an
Common's
enemy.
A friend. He fights.
He's an antagonist, but he's not a bad guy.
But he's not the bad guy. He's but definitely the, like,
you know what?
I'm they're all assassins. They're down. All vote like.
No, but he,
yeah, but he's getting revenge.
No, he works for the Santinos. Like he was ordered to protect her. If you look up,
he's just doing his job.
If you look up the group, the faction that they're the Kimora. If you look up Kimora, like there's three people listed on the wiki, and it's the girl that cut her slit her wrist. Mm-hmm. It's Santino, and it's Common.
But what's your point? They're just another group in the assassins.
But yeah, he's a bad guy. I mean, he's on the
he
side
was
of
their team.
So is she a bad guy? She was on their team too.
Well, once he killed her, I mean, she was the impetus.
I mean, she didn't do shit.
Going.
I don't count her as a bad guy.
I think Tim has a point here though, because she didn't start shit, and Common didn't start shit. John started shit. John did the bad thing at first, so maybe John's the bad guy. Should we put John Wick as the bad guy in John Wick Chapter 2?
But John's only the bad guy because. What's his Santino
made him the
yeah. Who is part of the Santino family?
The ultimate bad.
Joey, this brings up another important question. What is
bad?
Choice?
Oh,
what is that? That was good guy. That was better. That was a better one.
I personally think that we should include Common just because they had multiple fight scenes and they were fucking awesome.
Here's the deal. It's going at number two, and here's why. Because
you can't make the decision. Three people voted the other way. Three people voted the other way. It's going number one.
You're right.
Thank you.
Number one. Sorry, Thank Tim. We lost on that one. I was just trying to end it. All right. Can we vote on the actual movies now?
Now it's time to rank the John Wick movies. Currently number one, we have John Wick, Chapter 1. Where do we want to put Chapter 2? In the beginning of this, I said that Chapter 2 is definitely ahead of Chapter 1, and I do still agree with that. But as we had the conversation, I realized there was a lot more I didn't love about this movie than I going into this. I was saying, having said that, though, I stand by. There isn't anything I enjoy more about the first movie than the second one in terms of what I love most about this franchise, which is dope-ass action scenes and choreography and character-like moments. So I still
and the way it ends. And the way it ends.
And the way it
well.
Ends. Although I do think the way it ends is very cheap. Like I think that it's dope as fuck, but I don't think it's earned at all in terms of him killing it, which is kind of a major bummer for me.
Sorry, the way this one ends?
Chapter 2.
Chapter 2.
He doesn't like the way John Wick shooting him in the head.
Yeah.
Killing Santino in the thing, I love it as the impetus for where it ends us, which is everyone in the fucking world's trying to kill John Wick, and I'm like, to me it's worth it cuz I'm like, I can't wait for number 3.
Yeah, see, for me, I think, Tim, you kind of hit on something for me, right? Which is that there's nothing in this that I don't like. There is just some stuff in this that I feel like is not as good as some of the rest of the stuff, right? I think we're kind of splitting hairs here a little bit. But to me, this movie has a lot of stuff in it. And some of it's good. And some of it, to me, is just kind of filler-ish. Whereas the first one I just felt was very streamlined and very almost a perfect action movie. And that's why I would kind of put that up. And also, you know, we introduced the first one and it's so special and so cool. And this one like fleshes it out, but there's just, in doing so, there's just so much in there that I, you know, is there's just so much more in this. I'm not that made no sense, but it's okay.
I just want to say that I agree with Tim that, like, I feel like the action is cooler here. So much of, like, the just there are a lot, everything's ratcheted up a little bit more and it totally works. The only part that I don't think is equally ratcheted up is the story, because I just think that, yeah, you're right, of him shooting him in the head there just doesn't make any sense, where it's like, you know what's going to happen. The concept, like, oh, no, it's over. It's like, no, literally, like, the whole world is now aggressively against you and you don't have a single place where you're allowed to enter and be like, all right, I'm protected right now. So that's a really stupid move.
What I meant to say is
it's in the first one, I think that the story is more cohesive and makes more sense. You're like, this guy's getting a mission to, like, avenge his little sad puppy's death, and he does it. He nails it, you know?
I think I have this one definitely above part one, and a lot of it is those final moments in part one just don't really do it for me. I think it kind of slows down a bit. That fight sequence with the bad guy in part one just wasn't super satisfying for me compared to a lot of the fight sequences in this movie. And I am opposite from Kevin and Tim, where I love him killing Santino there. And I, again, just echoing the point we made earlier, or that I was making earlier, of to John Wick, it's, I can wait this out with this guy in this hotel, and who knows what he's scheming. We've seen other assassins try to kill me in this very hotel, so who fucking knows what they're capable of. I'm just going to end you right now, and I'll deal with the consequences. And you're going to come after me. And even when I talk to Winston in the park, I already know that there are consequences. Obviously, that's the number one rule. You cannot kill in the Continental. Why haven't they come after me yet? Well, it's because we like you, John. And I don't want it to happen yet. So we're going to put a little hour bounty on you. I think the movie's just so solid all the way through, and then it ends even better for me. I really enjoyed the way it ended.
Joy.
This is, like, the weirdest, like, splitting hairs thing, because I like both of these movies so much. I agree with Nick that I think the first one is just, like, a kind of perfectly balanced action movie, and I think that this one, because it has to do a little bit more world building, because now it's a series and they're trying to flesh out the world that this is in, that I think it's kind of backloaded, so the back half of it is a lot stronger than the first half of it. So, and I'm with Andy too, where, like, his motivations for all of this, for killing Santino, I think totally line up, of like, I'm not gonna wait for you to, like, just hide in this hotel until you can figure out how to kill me. Like, we're just going to do this. So I still think that I like the first one better.
Jesus, Joey.
Even though I love all of them.
So Nick, it's on you.
I think it's tough. That fight with Common really elevates this, but there's just so much in here that's monologuing.
The first one is first.
Could have been cut up. Yeah, I think I'm still going to go with number one better than number two by a little bit. Of course, we're splitting hairs. Listen, if I'd gotten outvoted, I'm not going to be disappointed on this one, right?
No.
The first one's first.
And this could be one of those things. I feel like it's, like, my top five for Marvel, where it's like, on any given day, depending on my mood, I could swap how I feel about this.
Yeah,
movies.
Exactly. I mean, I don't know.
Kevin's such a bitch. He went to the Nick's weakness, right? Hey, man, John Wick 1 was the first one to do it. You can't do better than the first one.
Hey, man, the ranking stands. Tim?
You know,
it's the original. Number one, chapter one. Number two, chapter two.
Chapter two.
Next week, we got chapter three, Parabellum.
Yes. Will there be more dogs in this one? You'll have to wait and see.
We'll have to wait and see. I hope it's all dogs, and I hope they all go to heaven. We're also doing Edgar Wright in review. We're continuing that. Next up is Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
What a good week of movies you guys have.
Pretty excited.
Tim, before we go, do you know who's another one of the leads is in John Wick Chapter 3? Have you had that spoiled for you?
Don't.
No, I have not.
Don't tell me. Don't tell anyone.
I'm not going to tell him. Is there more dogs? We don't know.
He'll get tweeted it, probably.
Wigging out with Scarpino.
Wigging out, motherfuckers. Till next time.
I'll be seeing ya.
Sure. There it is.
Sure.